There we go. Is that better? We've been going through 2 Kings, and we'll be back there. It just happens that the parallel passage here in 2 Chronicles gives a little more. Chronicles 26 this morning. And we've got a lot of ground to cover. So sometimes I give a news article or something, make some kind of comments on something or other. But not enough time for that this morning, so we'll just move right on. Before we get into the lesson, though, let's bow our heads and ask for the Lord to bless this hour. Our Father, we are thankful this morning for your blessings. Lord, you brought us here safely this morning, and Lord, what a blessing and privilege it is to open your Word and study it. We ask that you'd please lead and guide us into all truth this morning, open the eyes of our understanding, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to behold wondrous things out of your Word, And Lord, teach us to be better Christians and more of what you'd want us to be, and make this hour and this class profitable and productive, and all the other classes going on this morning. Lord, we pray that everything said and done might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, for the service to follow, we pray that your will and way would be done there, that you'd work in our hearts and lives. May the Word of God go forth in power, and I pray that you'd meet with us in a special way this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and ask it all. Amen. All right, 2 Chronicles 26. Let's look at the first 10 verses. First 10 verses this morning. The Bible says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mahunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry." All right, in verse 1 we see that a man named Uzziah ascends the throne of Judah. And again, we've been bouncing back and forth between the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel, and sometimes it's hard to keep track of these things, but we're dealing with Judah this morning, and in particular the life of this man Uzziah. So he ascends the throne, and if we looked at the parallel passage in 2 Kings 15, we'd find that he also has another name, and that is Azariah. All right, so Azariah and Uzziah are one and the same man, just two different names. They say, "Oh, how confusing." Well, we do the same thing, don't we? I mean, you know, a man's named Robert, but he doesn't always go by Robert. Some folks do, but, you know, some folks prefer to be called Bob or Bobby or something else. You know, why is it that we can tolerate it in our day, but when it comes to the Bible, we just can't have that, you know. Just too confusing. Well, Azariah has a very lengthy reign. I mean, 52 years. That's a long time, especially considering these other kings and how long they reigned. And realizing how early it is that he ascends the throne, 16 years old, I mean, one could imagine that he might have lived a lot longer and reigned a lot longer if it were not for something that he did, which we'll talk about a little later. He messed up. And like his father, Azariah, or Uzziah as he's called here in our passage, does that which is right in the sight of the Lord. But he doesn't go far enough. You know, he just goes so far and stops. Just not quite where he should be and where he should go. And remember last week that Uzziah's father fell short of David's righteousness. It said of him, you know, that he did right in the sight of the Lord, but not like David his father. See? So he fell short of David's righteousness in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 4, Uzziah is not compared to David, but he's compared to his own father. And it's sort of reminiscent of the creation of Adam. Remember Adam? He's created in the image of God. Adam was created in the image of God. But you know what happens? He falls, gets kicked out of the garden, and then he has a son. But you know what? His son wasn't born in the image of God. According to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, that boy shows up in his own likeness, Adam's own likeness, after his image, Adam's image. So that boy's got Adam's image and not God's image. Now you see, the problem isn't that we lost paradise in Genesis 3. We certainly did. You know, John Milton wrote that famous poem, Paradise Lost. And we did lose paradise, but we lost something more than paradise. See, we lost the image of God there. Now the problem is, how do you get the image of God back again? If you could just figure that out, you could solve every problem that there is. You know what the Lord does? He sends another Adam. The first Adam messed up, so the Lord sends another Adam. And you know what the Bible says about that Adam? The Bible says he was made in the image of God. He is the image of God. You know who that Adam was? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image of God. And you know what he did? He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. You say, how does that help us? Well, it doesn't help us unless we trust him as our Lord and personal Savior and get in him. And if you get in him, then you've got that image of God back again, because he is the image of God. And that's the key, see. That's the problem, every problem man ever had, see. Can be traced back to sin and goes back to man losing God's image. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, puts it this way, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, they're in a mess. See, they're in Adam's image. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ah, that makes the difference. They were in Christ. Are you in Christ? If you are, then you got that image back again. Now in verse 5, we see the importance of the man of God. The Bible says about Uzziah, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now Zechariah, that's a familiar name in Scripture, but this is not the Zechariah of the book of Zechariah. This is a different Zechariah. Obviously, you know, some of these names are common names. We have common names today. A lot of people name Robert and Bill and Susan and Jennifer and all that stuff. And Zechariah was a common name. And we know this is not the same Zechariah, because if you read the book of Zechariah, you find out that man lives much later than this Zechariah. But this man, as a man of God, has an influence upon a king. And by influencing that king, he influences a nation. Little is said of this guy, this Zechariah right here, but my, the influence that he had. He influenced somebody for righteousness.
You haven't any influence on anybody for righteousness?
Pastor preaching this subject last Sunday morning,
being a witness, telling people about the Lord.
We need to get a burden for lost people, see? Well, how do you get a burden for lost people?
Well, you deal with them, see? When you start dealing with them and you find out about where they're thinking and where they're coming from, and you realize the mess that they're in,
even if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't help but get a burden for them and feel sorry for them and pray for them and do all the things that are associated with. That's where the burden comes from. And passing out tracts and being a witness for the Savior and praying for these people. That's where all that comes from. That has to do with influencing people for righteousness, like Zechariah does. And we see that Uzziah sought the Lord. He sought God. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be seeking the Lord. Pastor mentioned this morning at the prayer meeting a verse in Hebrews that talks about the Lord as a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we're to be seeking the Lord. Well, how do you seek the Lord? Well, you get in His book. You get in His book and read it, and study it, and memorize it. You find out what pleases God, what makes God happy, what gets God upset. You want to avoid the things that get the Lord upset, see? And you want to do the things that make Him happy and please Him. That's seeking the Lord. And there was a blessing associated with seeking the Lord. We just quoted you that passage in Hebrews. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And God rewarded Uzziah for seeking the Lord. At the end of verse 5 there says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He got prosperity because he sought the Lord. But just as the verse kind of implies, there was a point in his life where he stopped seeking the Lord. And you know what happened to him after that? He stopped prospering. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you doing what you ought to do? Praying, getting in God's Word, studying it. That's where you find out the things you need to find out concerning the Lord. Now, this prosperity had to do with military success. And the military success of Uzziah is laid out in verses 6 through 8. And boy, does it sound familiar. We should notice that Uzziah is fighting the Philistines, and he's fighting those Philistines over in the Gaza Strip. And you know what he does? This guy enjoys some military success and he builds some settlements in amongst those Palestinians. I mean, the Philistines right there. Right? He's building settlements right there in Philistine territory. And if that weren't enough, he has some kind of dealings with those Arabians. Those Arabians are there and he's dealing with them. I guess there really isn't anything new under the sun. Goes back around. Things going on in Uzziah's day, happening today. See? Well, we should note that God helped Uzziah and gave him victory over the enemies of God's people. That reminds me, the God of the Bible is not the God of the Quran. The God of the Bible is fighting against the Arabians, and God wants to give His people victory over those Arabians. See? And any time God's people didn't enjoy success was because they didn't seek the Lord. And they got away from God and started serving idols. But those Muslims, they want you to believe that our God is their God. That ain't true. They're grossly ignorant of God's holy word. Now, if you really want peace in the Middle East, and everybody says, well, if we could just have peace in the Middle East, boy, the world be a better place, and all that stuff. I'll tell you how you can get it. Here's a man that got some peace in the Middle East. You know what you should do? You should just let Israel deal with their terrorist neighbors. Just let them deal with them any way they see fit.
to stop tying their hands at the United Nations. Just give them free rein. That will solve the problems in the Middle East. And they'd whip their enemies into submission, and the ones that were left, you know what they'd do? They'd send gifts to Jerusalem. You imagine Saudi Arabia sending gifts to Jerusalem to try to appease them, keep them from attacking them and all that stuff. That's what would happen if folks would just leave Israel alone, let them do what they need to do to protect themselves. But it ain't going to happen. As long as there's a United Nations, it's not going to happen. But the good news is the United Nations are going to be there much longer because the Lord's coming back and He's going to destroy those folks for messing with His people. Finally, we see in this passage that Uzziah has this great love of agriculture and so forth. And you find him having wells dug and vineyards planted and cattle raised. This is a man who's not just a character who's just one-sided, you know. He's not just all politician. He's not just all military leader. He's got a lot of other interests and obviously a talented man. A lot of abilities and a lot of gifts here. And one of those interests that he has is in this business of agriculture. And he obviously has some success with that as well and is prospering, no doubt because of the fact that he sought the Lord. Well, let's look at verses 11 through 15 here. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, beginning in verse 11, we see that Uzziah spends time building his military personnel and the equipment. And this fighting force is divided into three parts, and we have these three leaders mentioned here. I believe our military is divided into three parts. I mean, we have an army, a navy, an air force. I guess the Marines, though. I mean, but they fit under the navy, I think. So we got three parts too. And boy, is verse 13 loaded. I tell you, there's some things there. It gives us the size, power, and purpose of Uzziah's military. Do you know that the Christian life is likened to warfare? I'm sure you're not going to find that a lot preached in these liberal churches. But the Christian life is a warfare. We're in a battle. Now, one of the things I hate, and there's a lot of things I hate, about this modern trend of churches going to contemporary worship service is what they're doing to music. They get rid of these hymns, see. Now, what they do is they get rid of the hymns in favor of the choruses and the jingles and the rock music. And what they've done then, they've gotten rid of those marches that are in the hymn book, see. Soldiers, they march, see. I'd say, if you were to count them up, and I had a hymn book similar to ours, not the very same one. I just kind of went through a couple of hundred pages in there, and half of the songs in there were written in 4-4 time. That's march rhythm. Left, 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 right, left. Half of the songs in there, 4-4 timing. And then you got all the rest of them fall into the other categories, you know, 3-4 and 9:8 and 12:8 and 3:2 or 2:3 or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different timings associated with songs. Half of them are 4:4 timing, military marches. See. God's people are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But, they're going to get rid of those things. They're interested in entertainment. They're not interested in fighting. They're not interested in being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. They don't want to sing, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" They don't want to sing, "Onward, Christian Soldiers," or "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," or stand up for Jesus. They don't want that anymore. They just want to be happy and get along and cope and share and love and everything else. But the Christian life is down and dirty and getting shot at and fired at and firing back and everything else. See? So Uzziah prepares something for his military. We ought to notice that King Uzziah's army made war with mighty power. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul deals with the subject of the Christian's warfare. And he begins that subject in verse 10 with the same thing that is being mentioned here of Uzziah's army and the power that it had. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And if you have the power of His might, you're going to make war with mighty power. You know that? But man, if you go out in your own strength. Have you ever gone out to war against the world, the flesh, and the devil in your own strength? Man, I have. Come back a bloody mess, you know. But when you go out in God's power, then you can make war with mighty power. In addition, the purpose of Uzziah's army was, quote, "to help the king against the enemy." To help the king against the enemy. Did you know that our enemies are God's enemies? And I don't know if you ever thought about this thing, but you know what gives the devil his power? Our sinfulness. You know, if we didn't mess up, if we could live a perfect and sinless life, the devil wouldn't have any power, would he? I mean, he comes before the throne of God accusing the brethren. What's he accusing them of? Sin. You know, Lord, he just asked you for a blessing, but you can't bless him. Look what he just did. He messed up and, you know, that guy's up there dealing with the Lord about our sinfulness. We're in a battle, see, and we need to get some victory over these enemies because those enemies are God's enemies. We're in a battle against the world. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." The world is God's enemy. And we're in a battle with the world. We're also in a battle with the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind," carnal, like carnivorous, flesh-eating, the fleshly mind, "the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So the flesh is an enemy of God. And then finally, the devil. In Revelation chapter 12 and verses 7 through 9, the Bible says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And so we're in a battle against another of God's enemies, God's arch enemy, the devil. and our purpose, like the purpose of Uzziah's army, is to help the king against the enemy. Notice that Uzziah prepares 7 pieces of instruments or equipment for his troops. Shields, spears, helmets, habergeons. By the way, in case you don't know what that is, that's a coat of mail, usually a sleeveless coat of mail that's worn across the front. And I guess as far as Ephesians chapter 6 is concerned, the parallel to that would be a breastplate. When we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, that goes over this section here. And it probably just fits on the front, but that coat of mail would be covering the front and the back. But that's what a habergeon is. And then bows, slings, and then finally it says engines. He provided those 7 things for his troops. 7 is a good number, isn't it? Number of perfection or completeness. And so he provides 7 things for his soldiers. By the way, there are 7 things mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 that the Lord provides for the Christian soldier. Notice that Uzziah, let's just say this. Those engines there are, boy, they're a technological advance. Those things are shooting great stones. Not just a stone in a sling, but I mean, I'm not minimizing that. I mean, that thing fell Goliath, didn't it? But I mean, it's not just a little stone that's put in a sling and fired out there. This thing is firing great stones, whatever it is, these engines. But they can not only fire these stones, and you know, I guess the first thing that would pop into my mind would be a catapult, you know. But this thing is also firing arrows. I don't know how that works, but you know, this thing is really something. It's a technological advance. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? This nation is kind of advanced technologically in comparison to their enemies. And boy, they can get into trouble in a hurry in spite of their technological advances. Well, it ought to be instructive to us as a nation. Well, let's quickly look at verses 16 through 21. The Bible says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 40 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people in the land." Well, we can't help but notice in verse 16, the very first phrase there, those first 5 words. 5 is the number of death. And it says there, "But when he was strong." Ominous words. When he was strong, something's happened, see, and it happened to his destruction. You know, that's where we all get into trouble. It's when we're strong. It's those times where we think, "Oh, I don't need the Lord, you know. I'm in good shape. I can handle this, you know." But it's when we're weak and we cry out to the Lord, "Help me, I can't deal with it." That's when we're strong, see. That's when we have power with God. But when he was strong. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul was concerned about his weakness. And he wanted to get rid of a weakness that he had. It had to do with an infirmity in his flesh. It was causing him troubles. He wanted to be strong. He asked the Lord to remove that thing. And he prayed three times. You know what the Lord gave him for an answer? Paul said this. He said, and he said, that's the Lord, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Whose weakness? Your weakness, Paul. My weakness. Your weakness, you know. The Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'd rather not be strong in my physical body, as long as I can have the power of Christ on me. That's what he said. But when Uzziah was strong, that's when he got into trouble. Notice also in verse 16 that his strength led to his heart being lifted up. And this is just an obvious reference to pride. Many, many passages deal with this business of pride and being lifted up. Paul lays out the qualifications for a bishop or a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and one of those qualifications is found there. And he says this, that a pastor is not to be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Lifted up in pride. Pride is the problem, see. And Uzziah was lifted up, no doubt in pride. And, of course, that led to problems. It led to his destruction. That shouldn't surprise us any. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, he said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so he was lifted up, and he's going to be destroyed as the result of it. You know, I'm going to speculate just a little bit here. This is, of course, my speculation. It may not be so, but according to 2 Kings chapter 15 and verse 4, which happens to be the parallel passage, the Bible says that Uzziah failed to do the right thing in that he kept the high places. He kept those high places. He didn't destroy them. He didn't get rid of them. He kept those high places, like a lot of the other kings before him. He kept the high places, but something was happening on those high places that we're told about here. It says that the people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. Some folks are up there in the high places burning incense. And that's exactly what Uzziah does here. He starts burning incense. The problem is that he took what was going on out in those high places and brought it to the house of God.
Yeah.
And started burning incense. And he had no business burning incense in the house of God. That was for the sons of Levi. He wasn't from Levi. He was from Judah. Sound familiar? Folks bringing worldly things into the church. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. They do that out there in the world, and those folks love it. If we just bring it in here, we'll be able to get those folks that are on the high places into the house of the Lord, see? How did it work for Uzziah? Did it work out very well? I think not. You know what he did? He tolerated something that displeased the Lord, and pretty soon he just brought it to the house of God. Just put up with it. Well, now, if my count is right, this is the third time in Scripture where someone messes up with incense and censers and gets in trouble. I'm sure you remember Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. They were Aaron's. They were from Levi. They were qualified to burn incense, but they used strange fire to burn incense. They didn't get fire from off the altar where they were supposed to, and God destroyed them. And then we have Dathan, Abiram, and the sons of Korah. They challenged the high priestly role of Aaron.
And so Moses, putting their challenge to the test, told them to bring their censers and put incense therein and just see what happened. And God destroyed them. Those folks were from Levi. They were priests, but they overstepped their boundaries. And God said, I'm not putting up with that. It had to do with incense, censers. And now we have Uzziah. He had two examples in the Word of God that told him he better not mess around with incense and censers. But he ignored the historical references right there in the book. See, he stopped seeking the Lord. When he was seeking the Lord, he was in the book. Or Zechariah was giving him the Word of God. But at some point he stopped seeking the Lord, and he forgot all about those historical references that would have kept him out of trouble. Well, the moral of the story here, as far as Uzziah is concerned, is don't step into an office that you have no business being in. And those other instances and examples in the Word of God, if you're supposed to be in that office, you better perform your duties according to the Word of the Lord. You overstep those things, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. That's what the historical record says, the Word of God, about those things. And believe you me, that's a common thing among God's people. People trying to step into offices they have no business being in, you know. Try to run the church and tell the pastor how he's supposed to do things, you know. Thank God not here, but other places, you know, you hear stories about these things all the time. People trying to usurp their authority and everything else, trying to run things, or somebody's in a position that they're supposed to be in and they don't do it according to the Word of God and mess up there. It's a problem. Now, what Azariah and these 80 priests do is nothing short of courageous. I mean, they face the king. And, of course, Ecclesiastes says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? And these 81 men, that's a 9 times 9. 9's the number of fruitfulness. These guys show up and say, what are you doing? To a king, they say that. What are you doing? You have no business in here doing what you're doing. That takes a lot of courage, not knowing what's going to happen. They didn't know he was going to get leprosy. I mean, he could have left the temple and ordered the troops to surround the place and had them all killed. But they did what was right. You know what we need to do? We need to stick our necks out sometimes and just say, you're wrong, you know. This nation's heading down the wrong path, and just let the Lord step in and back you up, you know. And even if he doesn't back you up, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, well, we're just going to do the right thing anyway. You know? But a lot of times we just be surprised. We get worried about what will happen if I do this. Just do it if that's what the Lord wants you to do, and let the Lord do what he's going to do. Well, we notice that Uzziah gets angry with the priest, and again, that emphasizes his pride. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, pride is a head problem. There can be no doubt about it. Right in the middle of that thing is the letter I, see? He's concerned about himself, and he's all puffed up. He's lifted up in pride. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible likens pride to a crown, but unless you think that's a good thing, he says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 1, woe to the crown of pride. A lot of people wearing a crown of pride. And where was the crown worn? On the head. It's a head problem. You know what, folks in the Bible, you know what happens to them when they start wearing a crown of pride? They get nailed in the head. Goliath, you know, right in the forehead. Right between the eyes. Same thing happens to Uzziah. He gets lifted up in pride. What happens? That leprosy starts to spread in his forehead. In his head, that's where the Lord attacks the problem, right where it began, see. We should notice that there are three houses in verse 21, and I'll go in reverse order there. The last house that's mentioned is the king's house. And that, of course, was Uzziah's dwelling place before he decided to burn incense in the house of the Lord. That's where all the kings of Judah lived. And obviously, there's the house of the Lord. That's the place where he was trying to burn incense, where he had no business being. But But then that first house, is Uzziah's home following his sin? It's called a several house. A several house. Well, what's a several house? Well, like many words in the Bible, the Bible defines many of its terms right there. And sometimes we're too anxious to grab a dictionary and look things up. Sometimes the definitions are right there in the book and in the context. And the King James Bible is the only Bible that'll do that. These other versions start changing things and you lose the definitions to those things. We notice the reason why Uzziah had to dwell in this several house was because he was a leper. And because he was a leper, he was cut off from the house of the Lord. He was cut off. See the word sever in the word several? Sever, to cut. He was cut off. See, he was quarantined. He had to live in a place apart from everyone else. And so he couldn't associate with the general population because his disease was contagious. Contagious. All right, let's move on very quickly here. Verses 22 and 23. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write? So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Although Zechariah is mentioned in verse 5, that wasn't the Zechariah of the minor prophets, but the Isaiah mentioned here is the Isaiah of the book of Isaiah. Now the interesting thing about that is that Isaiah is mentioned right before the verse that records the death and burial of Uzziah. And in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, there's a whole chapter there that deals with something that occurred in the year that King Uzziah died. So that whole chapter has some connection to Uzziah. Why is it that Isaiah is mentioned here in 2 Chronicles? I mean, he doesn't really play a role in this story. He could have been left out and you wouldn't have missed anything as far as this story goes as it's recorded here. And you get over to the book of Isaiah, and why doesn't he say, in the year that Jotham ascended the throne of Judah? He doesn't say that. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and then he gives the vision that took place there. There's got to be a connection between those passages, and there is some amazing connections, and there's probably a whole lot more. Guess where the setting of the vision that Isaiah sees, and that guess where it takes place? Takes place in the temple. It's the heavenly temple, but it takes place in the temple. That's where Uzziah messed up. He messed up in the temple. Now, if we were to read Isaiah 6, and we don't have time to do that, but there's smoke mentioned there. The smoke fills the temple there. And boy, that sure is reminiscent of incense being offered. I think smokes. You add incense to the fire, and it lets off smoke. And there's a passage in Revelation chapter 8 that talks about the incense burning and the prayers of the saints coming up, and it has to do with the smoke of the incense. Not only that, but old Isaiah, boy, when he sees the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, he's in a mess, and he starts crying about his unclean lips and everything else, and an angel comes and takes some tongs and takes a coal off the altar. Takes a coal. You know what is supposed to be used for that incense? A coal or coals from off the altar. Not only that, but there's a man in trouble in both of these stories. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, Uzziah is in trouble. He's stepping into an office that he has no business being in. In Isaiah, boy, Isaiah has just been out of shape. I'm undone. Woe is me. I'm a mess. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the people of unclean lips. He's in trouble. He's standing before the Lord. He sees the Lord, and he's in trouble. He's in trouble. Isaiah, like a leper, is concerned with his uncleanness and publicly acknowledges his uncleanness.
He says, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know what that leper had to say? Unclean, unclean. He had to tell everybody publicly that he was unclean. And that's exactly what Isaiah says. And you know what Isaiah does? He doesn't say, I'm a man of an unclean heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. His focus is on his lips. Boy, that's got a connection to that leper. That leper was supposed to, among the things that they were supposed to do when they were diagnosed with leprosy, they were supposed to put something over their upper lip. You know? Like a doctor wearing a mask to keep those germs from infecting anybody. They were supposed to put something over their upper lip, see? And they were supposed to cry, unclean. And old Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Unclean lips. And so that coal has to be taken off the altar and applied to his lips because he's in a mess. And by the way, I'll just close with this and not quite make it to the end. But the passage in Leviticus that deals with the leprous man, he was supposed to come to a priest, and the priest was going to diagnose his case if he indeed had leprosy. And the Lord says, if this happens and this happens, he does have leprosy. And that verse says, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. And Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And so there's a connection between Uzziah and the vision of Isaiah right there. We got to close, unfortunately.